Hannah's life unravels with a text message. After being ghosted by Max, a cheese shop employee with punk band aspirations and vintage t-shirts, she spirals into obsession, analyzing his sporadic emojis and increasing response times. When she spots him embracing a tattoo artist named Reese at his band show, the rejection cuts deep. While Hannah burns her mouth on frozen pizza and obsessively scrolls through Max's Instagram stories, a woman named Anna Lee is murdered just 3 miles from her apartment. This coincidence becomes Hannah's escape hatch from her own disappointments. Her tiny income, perpetually dripping faucet, stalled novel, and romantic rejections meticulously documented in her journal. Facing Anna Lee's murder feels easier than confronting her own failures. What begins as casual interest in a local crime quickly transforms into something far more dangerous, illustrating how easily we can substitute unhealthy obsessions for genuine connection when validation seems perpetually out of reach. Despite having little in common with Anna Lee, a married law school graduate with conventional beauty, Hannah obsessively studies her social media until I knew her life better than some friends. The online forum dedicated to finding Anna provides Hannah with purpose and community she lacks elsewhere. When Anna's decomposed body is discovered, Hannah vows to find the killer, needing it for myself as much as for justice. As more victims emerge, Kimberly from a gas station, Jill the personal trainer, and Emma from a dating app, Hannah's investment deepens. She volunteers to investigate Jill's client list with coworker Carol, filling the void left by her stagnant career and empty love life. Haven't we all become fascinated with stories of tragedy? There's something seductive about immersing in others' misfortunes. Perhaps it makes our own problems seem manageable. Hannah shows how easily the observer becomes a participant when seeking purpose in others' tragedies. Hannah's transformation begins with an angry letter to William Thompson after his arrest for murders. His surprisingly normal response, thanking her, apologizing for failing to be an ally to women, and asking about her hobbies, leaves her unsettled yet intrigued. This correspondence becomes Hannah's new fixation. She measures attraction by how desperately I need their contact, comparing it to her obsession with Max. The letters provide a dopamine rush similar to morning coffee. When William calls her beautiful, something Max never did, the validation proves irresistible. His request for her to be his girlfriend meets with one condition, but you have to promise not to kill me. As their relationship deepens, Hannah's work suffers until she's fired. Rather than recognizing her unhealthy obsession, she attends William's trial in Georgia, moving from observer to active participant. Validation from the wrong source can feel more powerful than rejection from the right one. Hannah risks everything for attention from a suspected murderer, showing the dangerous lengths we go to feel seen after being overlooked. At the trial, Hannah meets fellow William-obsessed women, Dottie, risking custody of her children, and Lauren, who previously fell for another murderer. They form a disturbing sisterhood united by their attraction to a dangerous man. Hannah acknowledges her abnormal attraction, yet pursues it. I wrote back confessing my feelings, crossing the line into becoming one of those women who falls for killers. This self-awareness only heightens the thrill. William's attention fills Hannah's emptiness from rejection and professional disappointment. She believes she uniquely understands him, creating an illusion of intimacy. His imprisonment allows her to express eagerness without restraint, providing a sense of control. Most disturbing is Hannah's attraction to danger itself. When William is unexpectedly acquitted and proposes, she accepts while wondering if he'd let me live long enough to become his wife. This acknowledged risk excites rather than frightens her. She later reflects that perhaps she had been seeking violence rather than love all along. What drives us toward potential destruction? The thrill of danger? The belief we can tame it? Or self-destructive impulse disguised as passion? When William is acquitted and Hannah becomes his fiancée, she enters the privileged Thompson family world. Their wealth contrasts sharply with Hannah's modest background, demonstrating how power can shield accountability. Mark Thompson, William's protective father, uses his influence to shield his family. A successful lawyer with political connections, he portrayed himself as self-made despite being born into wealth. Cindy Thompson, William's mother, prioritizes appearances and immediately disapproves of Hannah. William and his brother Bentley have a complex relationship. Bentley warns that William is a complicated person. He can be dangerous while hiding his own murderous tendencies. Hannah uncovers the family's history of covering up violence, including William's alleged killing of his girlfriend Gracie. The revelation that Bentley was actually responsible for the serial killings, framing William out of jealousy, exposes how toxic family dynamics create monsters. The Thompsons illustrate that wealth doesn't just buy luxury, it purchases silence and immunity from consequences. Living with William after his acquittal, Hannah engages in a complex dance of investigation and willful ignorance, searching for evidence of his guilt while accepting his affection. Her search uncovers disturbing items: William's meticulous habits, letters from women who wrote to him in jail, and most damning, a locked box containing potential murder souvenirs, a gym card from Jill's gym, a hair tie with blonde strand, cigarettes, a matchbook, and a bookmark. Despite these discoveries, Hannah continues the relationship, planning their wedding while maintaining her secret investigation. The turning point comes when Hannah notices a matchbook in a forum photo identical to those in William's drawer, suggesting his involvement in a murder during his imprisonment. Her investigation leads to Bentley, who reveals himself as the actual killer. He admits to killing all four women to frame William out of jealousy over their father covering up William's murder of Gracie years ago. Hannah's simultaneous investigation and engagement exemplify cognitive dissonance, knowing something is dangerous yet being unable to walk away. After the dramatic confrontation, William breaks up with Hannah upon discovering her investigative notebook, though not before a final encounter that leaves her pregnant, uncertain whether William or Bentley is the father. Hannah retreats to her parents' home, finding comfort in the anonymity of yoga classes. She appreciates her newfound invisibility, a stark contrast to her previous need for validation. Her social circle has contracted. When Megan asks her not to attend her wedding, Hannah feels the sting, the price of concealing Bentley's crimes. Hannah writes unanswered letters to William and dates using outdated photos. Working at a coffee shop, she constantly watches for Bentley, certain he'll eventually find her. The novel concludes with Hannah's pregnancy creating an unbreakable link to either William or Bentley. Her note that she'll know who to blame if the bodies start to pile up once again suggests both resignation and disturbing acceptance. Some marks on our souls never fully fade. Hannah's story shows how choices made seeking validation bind us to far-reaching consequences, while revealing that understanding our vulnerabilities is the first step toward not being defined by them.